the Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
This is Rudy Valley and Company. Sam Fox has privileged us to bring to radio's listening ears four of the seven musical compositions written for George White's Scandals, film version of 1935. This song is sung by Alice Faye and Jimmy Dunn. The amusing lyrics are by Jack Ellen and Herb Magidson, with music by Joseph Myers. And it's called According to the Moonlight.
Accordingly, shouldn't we? According to the season, which you know is spring, this is the proper thing. To hold you tight is quite all right. According to authority, on etiquette for nights like these, a little kiss, a hug and squeeze are approved in the best society. So why not get romantic, which you ought to do, according to how I love you. According to authorities, on etiquette for nights like these, a little kiss, a hug and squeeze are approved in the best society. So why not get romantic, which you ought to do, according to how I love.
Winter Garden on Broadway last night, Life Begins at 8:40 was presented for the 200th time. Among the many reasons for the long and profitable life of this colorful extravaganza is the presence in the cast of Robert Wildhack, professor of sound phenomena. Professor Wildhack has devoted many years to the study of the human snore, going without sleep himself for weeks at a time in order to observe, record, and classify this practically universal type of behavior. He brings us tonight the results of his tireless researches. The class will please come to attention. Professor Wildhack, you may take the platform.
Thank you, Mr. Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, dear scattered brains of the great radio classroom, of all the human sound phenomena, perhaps the most inhuman to other people are the snores. In discussing the human snore, or what we call in scientific terms, soft palate calisthenics, I need scarcely point out that the basic snore is the common or Pullman car form, sounding like this. Just an ordinary snore. Snores are produced by two movements of the breath, and so they may be classified under two general headings: varied inspirational forms and varied expirational forms. We will take up the latter first. All of the expirational forms listed here are dependent upon type 1, which you've just heard, for their inspirational element. And so we have type 2A, the labial or ah-poo variety. B is the frictional or non-lubricated form, like this. There is quite a group of these squeak and whistle snores, and probably the most colorful and weird, albeit a common one, is type 2D, the Westinghouse air brake. A is the sad or melancholy form. Which often merges into 3B, the conversational or troubled conscience variety. Now, leaving for the moment the expirationals, for the inspirationals, we come upon number 4A, the light and thin, or blonde type of snore, which, despite the name and the sound, is not necessarily produced by a pale, anemic young lady. Our extensive research, in fact, shows that the large, robust male will often produce that light and thin, whereas the frail, anemic girl may produce the larger and fuller or brunette variety, 4B. Then we have 4C, the ascending diapason. 4D, the descending diapason. And 4E, the double diapason. First ascending and then descending, or vice versa, as the case may be, and doubtless often is. Here's one of them. Well, next is any fancy combination or gymnastic variety produced by combining one of these inspirationals with one of the expirational. We have 42 possible combinations already. Let's take a 4E and a 3B. Now, number 6, the bucksaw, sounds much the same in both directions. And now, students, we approach the evident sign of the experienced and accomplished snorer. Type 7, the interrupted inspiration or static lag variety. Which extends itself, ultimately, and I think I may say without fear of successful contradiction, almost inevitably, into type 8, the acme of snoring. This is the auto-resuscitation or self-awakening variety. What was that? Huh? It couldn't have been. I never snore. Good night.
Southern Custom, a comedy number which provides an opportunity for Lita Roberti, Ukulele Ike, and Jimmy Dunn to be funny in the music of the 1935 George White Scandals picture. It's an old Southern custom when you're walking down the street to bid everyone good morning. Don't you think that's kind of sweet? And it's an old Southern custom to politely lift your hat when you pass a pretty stranger. Is there anything wrong in that? If a lady meets a gentleman, as they did in days colonial, and the lady and the gentleman have intentions matrimonial, if they must be together every morning, noon, and night, there's a good old Southern custom that makes everything all right. George White's answer to the Continental. It is a desire of every film company to find a musical number that'll set the country agog with a new dance craze. The Scandals producers believe they have it in this one called The Hunkadola.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Hunkadola.
May I not also say thou hast to stop? Ah, nay, 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 thou must not get too rough in Hunkadola.
We're not rough.
A junkaroller.
That's hot stuff.
Now whoops and up the daisy, thou art driving me crazy. Out of the moonlight, out of the magic eye around. Oh, lady, how this thrills me, how it fills me, kills me, kills me. Out of the rhythm, out of the music, are your charm.
Let us give your man a hidey ho, 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 a hot cha cha, lo dee do dee do.
It's Hunkadola.
Presenting Leslie Howard with Merle Oberon, having made Of Human Bondage and British Agent in Hollywood and The Scarlet Pimpernel in England, Mr. Howard is currently appearing in the Petrified Forest in New York. Miss Oberon, whom you will recall as the darkly beautiful Anne Boleyn in The Private Life of Henry VIII, was his co-star in the just-released Scarlet Pimpernel. This will be her first radio appearance. I have asked Mr. Howard himself to tell you about tonight's play and to introduce Miss Oberon. Mr. Leslie Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a little more than a year since my first appearance here, or rather in Hollywood on Mr. Vallée's broadcast. I find it very pleasant to be back again. The short play in rhyme that we're doing tonight is quite an unusual one. We chose it partly because it has much the same background as The Scarlet Pimpernel, Paris during the French Revolution, and partly because it has, we think, a certain quiet charm capable of translation into radio terms, at least we hope so. The author is Louis N. Parker, who wrote Disraeli for George Arliss. It's called A Minuet, and the leading lady, who's been so charmingly described by Mr. Vallée, Miss Merle Oberon, she enters now and the play begins.
The Paris streets are running red with blood, the guillotine has shed. Down cobbled lanes the tumbrils roll. Doomed is their cargo, death their goal. Death for lady, death for lord. The angry verdict of the howling horde hurries a nation's noblest life to the sharp decision of a sharper knife. Our scene, a Paris prison cell, a place where living dead men dwell. We discover at the curtain's rise the Marquis de Beauclerc. His weary eyes are closed. With soon-to-be-forfeit breath, he speaks of life and death.
Is there an afterlife, a deathless soul, a heaven to which to aspire to as goal? Who shall decide what nobody may know? Science is dumb. Faith has no proofs to show. I'm alone. No soul will sorrow for me. My enemies dread me and my friends abhor me. For all I know, my wife, the ugly word, is in Koblenz, attended by absurd, perfumed and mincing abbeys. She and I'm proud to say, lived as I mean to die, with never a trace of middle-class emotions. I went my way, she followed her own notions. And when she hears I'm dead, so fine her breed, she'll arch her eyebrows and exclaim, indeed.
Citizen?
Joseph?
Yeah.
Is the tumbril here?
Not yet, aristocrat. But have no fear, the widow never missed.
The widow?
Aye, the guillotine.
The people's wit.
I say, aristocrat, you are to die.
How true. And so are you, my friend, and so are you.
I came to tell you that a woman's there, asking to see you.
What?
She's young and fair, and judging by the richness of her dress, some heretofore aristo. Nothing less.
All women are aristocrats by birth. No old or ugly woman treads the earth.
You should see my wife.
Yes. I should be proud.
Shall I admit the lady?
Yes.
It's not allowed, nevertheless.
My snuff box.
Hmm?
From the king.
I spit on it.
Yes, you spit on everything.
The widow will spit out your head.
And that's my equal. Why do I dread this meeting? Who can be the fair who ventures hither to this loathsome lair? The Marchioness of Beaurepaire? Alas, her love and faith were brittle as this glass. The Lady of Beaugency? But she had three other lovers while she drove me mad. No one would risk her head to say goodbye to a discarded lover soon to die. My wife.
Marquis.
Marchioness.
My Lord O'Connor kindly escorted me.
Oh, too much honor.
What a world where gentlemen are treated like vulgar criminals.
Won't you be seated?
I greatly fear I must cut short my visit. Time is so precious nowadays.
Ah, is it? How did you hear that I must soon go hence?
A charming abbé told me, in Koblenz.
What did you say?
I scarce gave any heed. I arched my eyebrows and exclaimed, indeed?
Ah, I am distressed you chose to undertake a long and tiresome journey for my sake.
I had delightful company, I may say. We played at cards, and thus time passed away. I lost a deal of money.
My regrets. I've squandered my last coin.
And then at Metz, a charming man, an Irishman. Such grace, such wit, such...
Never mind, never mind.
He begged for a place beside me in my coach.
His name?
My Lord O'Connor.
Yes, to be sure. He touched a chord.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you were kind?
To him or you?
Oh, dying men don't count.
That's very true.
No doubt he's waiting for you now.
No doubt.
You mustn't strain his patience to wear out. And when you join him, tell him I regret I'm not at liberty. We might have met.
You would have liked each other very much. Such conversation. Such high spirits.
This prison is no place for you. Farewell.
The room is ugly. I prefer my cell.
Your cell?
Of course. I am a prisoner too. That's what I came for.
What?
To die with you.
To die with me?
A Beauclerk could not fail.
But,
Yes?
The guillotine.
A mere detail.
Pardon me, Marchioness, but I confess you, you almost made me show surprise.
What less did you expect of me?
We've lived so long apart, I'd forgotten...
I'd a heart. You'd forgotten many things besides. The happy bridegroom and the happy bride. And so had I. At court, the life we lead makes love a frivolous pastime.
We need the shock of death to show us we're human.
Marquis and Marchioness? No. Man and woman. Once you were tender.
Once you were sincere.
So long ago.
So short a time.
Oh, dear. Our minds are like a potpourri of dust. Breathing dead rosemary, lavender and musk. Things half forgotten. Silly things. Sublime. A faded ribbon, withered rose, a rhyme. A melody of old Provence whose lilt haunts us as in a dream. Like amber. Spilt. God knows how long ago.
Do you remember how first I wooed you by the flowing ember of winter fires?
You were so young then.
Yes, I was the proudest, happiest of men.
I, the most innocent of maids.
Alas, how the years change as they come and pass.
Do you remember by the Rhone, the gray old parcel on the hill, the brambled pathway to the mill? You plucked a rose. We were alone, for cousins need no chaperone. How hot the days were. How the shrill call of crickets seemed to thrill the treble to the millwheel's drone. What happy days were those.
Gone. With the perfume of the rose. I called you Doris. For I own Meg on my fancy cast of two.
I called you Amadis. You will admit no likelier name is known. We were like fledglings, newly flown.
Yes, like little children, Jack and Jill.
With many a scratch and many a spill, we stumbled over stick and stone.
What happy days were those.
Gone, with the perfume of the rose.
Over lush meadows, thickly strewn with daisy and with daffodil, we ran at dawn to catch the trill of larks on wild wings, sunward blown.
In orange groves, we heard the moan of lovelorn nightingales, until you pressed my hand. A tender thrill was in your touch and in your tone. Ah, me. What happy days were those.
Gone. Perfume of the rose.
Marquis, might we not yet atone for all our errors, if we chose?
But Doris, All the perfume is gone.
But Amadeus, I've kept the rose.
You've kept the rose? But will it bloom again?
Perhaps in heaven.
Is there a heaven, Doris?
Come and see.
This is the Fleischman Geist Hour, broadcast from the Variety Theater in Radio City, under the direction of Rudy Valley. Rudy presents Leslie Howard and Merle Oberon, Robert Wildhack, Tom Howard and George Shelton, and the Duncan Sisters. Nasty Man has encouraged the writers of the songs for the Scandals film version of 1935 to try again. This tune is in much the same vein, but it lacks the inspiration of the former composition. Alice Faye probably sings this one in the picture, and the Stewarts sing it for you tonight. The title, I Didn't Know You'd Get That Way.
What happened to you, mister? You used to treat me like a sister. But how you have played, and am I amazed. You started very sweetly, now you have changed your ways completely. From a meek and mild man, you've become a wild man.
Oh, oh, you wrestler, you, oh, oh, what a man you've turned into. What pretty things you've learned to do. Oh, I didn't know you'd get that way. I didn't realize. A little twinkle in your eyes is merely hotshot in disguise. Oh, I didn't know you'd get that way. My heart is full of joy that never knew, I never knew you. Great big naughty boy, how you do, 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 what you do, do, do. There isn't any doubt that you know what love is all about. And am I glad that I found it out. Oh, I didn't know you'd get that way.
George Sheldon. Tom and George have declared a truce in their Thursday night argument in order to present a sketch which has long been a favorite with Tom's stage following. A little drama called The Holdup. Tom Howard and George Sheldon. The scene, a street on the east side, New York. An upright citizen played by Tom Howard is walking along minding his own business when suddenly...
Stick him up.
Stick up. Stick what? Who's? What is it? Hi, oh, what is it?
Come on. I'm holding you up.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't hold me up. You're a perfect stranger to me.
Mix on the chatter. Where's your money?
The money?
Yeah.
I usually carry it in a small pocket. Down there. Yeah.
Is that all you got?
Yeah, I didn't know you were coming or I had more, you see.
Don't make a squawk or I'll drill you full of lead.
Say, you make all right doing that kind of stuff, huh?
You could do the same thing if you want to do.
What? You mean hold people up?
Why, certainly. All you got to do is take this gun.
Yeah?
Somebody comes along, you stick the gun in their face, Go in their pockets and get the money.
Oh, that's easy. Gun in their pockets, hand in their...
No, gun in the face.
Take
this gun now.
I don't need a reference or anything.
No, you don't need it at all. Okay, I'm going to run down the street.
Huh?
I'm going to run down the street
okay.
And I'll be back in 5 minutes.
I'll hold them up. I'll hold the piece.
Watch out now.
What?
Here comes a girl now.
Customer
yeah,
already?
Yeah, be sure and get some money from her.
Oh, leave it to me. That's easy. Gun in the face, hand in the pockets, and get some money. Just a minute, y'all. Just a minute. Let me see your driver's license. I mean, stick up your hand.
What is this?
Stick them up.
Who are you?
I'm a hold-up fella here. Hold-up man.
Oh, and are you holding me up?
Yes, ma'am. See, there's the gun right there. See, the gun. I got it here.
Isn't that nice?
You like it?
Why, yes.
Where's your money?
Oh, I haven't any money.
You haven't got any money?
No.
Well, I can't hold you up if you haven't got any money, lady.
Oh, but I didn't know you were going to hold me up.
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Yeah, that's right, too. I didn't know I was going to be here myself. I just got the job a little while ago, so...
If I had only known.
Yeah, if I dropped your card or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I
could get some.
You could get some?
Mm-hmm.
Where at?
At the bank.
Today?
Oh, no, not today anymore. You see, the banks are closed.
Yeah,
now.
That's right. St. Valley's for Valent. Yeah, I say. When could you get it, lady?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What time tomorrow?
Oh, about 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, 10 o'clock. I got to go to the dentist at 9. Let me see. Well, how much do you think you could get?
Around
$500. $500?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that would be all right. I tell you what you do. Could you get $500 out of the bank and meet me here tomorrow about 10:15? Would that be convenient for you?
Well, yes, that'll be all right.
Yeah, well, you do that then, lady, and I'll hold you up and take the money. Just another thing before. You see, I'm very forgetful, and I may forget the gun in the morning, you see. So without the gun, I couldn't hold you up. You realize that, don't you? So could you take the gun with you and bring it back in the morning with the money, huh?
Oh, yes, yeah. I could do that.
Yeah, that'll save me a lot of trouble.
But how do I know that you'll be here?
Oh, I'll be here as my bread and butter on the wrong
side.
Oh,
I know, but somehow I have a feeling that you won't be here.
What, you think I won't be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you a deposit.
Oh, that'll
be
fine.
I'll give you a $5 deposit. That's what I'll do. Say, if I don't show up, there you are. That'll pay you for any trouble you have incurred during the interval. Huh? How's that, lady? Is that all right? All right, I'll see you. Oh, wait, just a minute. How do I know you'll be here?
Oh, I'll be here.
Yeah.
See, I have the gun.
Yeah, but if you don't come back, you see, I wouldn't have any gun to start with in the morning. Huh?
Well, I tell you what I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll give you an IOU for your $5.
Yeah, you give me a U. That'll protect the both of us, see?
Now.
Yeah.
I owe
O-U.
You.
$5. Yeah, that's it. That's...
Now, you sign here.
Oh, yeah, I got a sign on the bottom. Yeah. In the bottom line here.
That's it.
Yeah. There you are, ma'am.
That's fine.
Well,
yep.
I'm very glad to meet you. Goodbye. I'm very pleased. A nice girl, you know. Do business in a business way.
How'd you make out?
Huh?
How'd you make out?
Oh, you're back, huh?
Yeah, I'm back. Come on.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
All right, come on.
Yeah.
Where's the money?
The money?
Yeah.
I didn't get no money yet, but... I got a good prospect.
What do you mean you got a good prospect?
You see, a girl come by here, Joy says she didn't have any money.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't let her get away with
that's
that.
That's right.
And, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. I said, we got to have money.
Yeah.
So she's going to get $500 out of the bank and meet me here tomorrow
meet
morning.
Meet you here tomorrow morning?
Oh, you're getting
what are you talking about? You'll never see that girl again.
What do you mean? She's got to come back.
What do you mean she's got to come back?
I got it. Didn't I give her a deposit?
A deposit?
Yeah, $5 deposit.
You give her $5 of your own money?
Sure.
You'll never see the $5 of the girl again, I tell
you. Don't be foolish. We're protected.
What do you mean we're protected?
I made her make out IOU. What
IOU?
IOU for $5. She wrote it on the paper.
Did she sign it?
What?
Did she sign it?
No, I signed it.
You signed it.
Well, what's the matter? Oh, yeah, girl.
Well, of all the numbskulls.
What's the matter?
Where were you when brains were given out?
The girl, over your house. The girl wrote it down on the paper there.
I'm going to give you one more chance.
I don't think I deserve it, you know?
Give me the gun.
Huh?
Where's the gun I just gave you?
Yeah. That's
yeah, yeah, what?
That's where I was a wise guy with a gun.
What do you mean you were
you
a
see,
wise
I figured we forget the gun, we couldn't hold her up, right? So, figure she has to come back in the morning anyhow, you see? It killed two birds with the same bush. So she's coming, bring the gun with her, you see?
You gave her my good gun?
Yeah, you don't... What?
Well, of all the numbskulls that I've ever run into, you're the limit, you
she'll,
are.
She'll be back.
Hey, how much would you charge to haunt a house?
The girl, how many rooms? Oh, the girl will be back. I know, George. She'll be back here. She'll
As
be...
I said before, I'm going to give you one more chance.
Okay.
I got another gun here.
Yeah, all right.
Now, take this gun.
Yeah.
Remember, the first person come along, gun in the face, yeah, hands in the pockets, and get the money.
No IOUs.
No IOUs.
Strictly cash.
And no deposits anymore.
All right, yeah.
Don't forget that.
You didn't say that, George. I just...
Nick, huh? Here comes a cop.
Nick? What?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah. No, not his name. No,
what?
No.
What?
I mean, the fuzz is on the Erie.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
Oh,
and this is a cop, and I don't want him to see you and I talking together.
Oh, yeah. Give me a bad name, Nick.
Give
yeah,
you a bad name.
Go ahead, then.
Now, I'll run down the street, and I'll be back, and I'll bring you some cigarettes.
Yeah. Bring cigars, George. I don't smoke cigarettes. I smoke them.
Well, what are you doing here?
Oh. I is this? Well, a policeman, huh?
Yes, I'm a policeman.
I knew it right away.
Mm.
Yeah, I could tell by that suit.
Mm.
Yeah. Funny how you could... I'm a hold-up fella.
Oh. You're a crook, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I hold the people, you know, when they come by, the pedestrians.
Yeah, it's a pedestrians. Fine business.
I hold them... It's who? What?
I say it's a fine business.
Yeah. Mm. Ain't very good today.
No?
No. Mm. I've been here a half hour. I haven't got a nickel yet, haven't.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Mm. You haven't got any money, have you? You haven't.
No, I don't get paid until the first of the month.
Oh, I see, yeah. A girl come by here a little while ago. She didn't have any money either.
Oh, that's such so. Can
well,
you...
I guess things are pretty bad all over the country.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty bad, yeah.
Are you doing anything tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning?
About 10:15?
Why, no.
I'm going to hold a girl up here and take $500 off her, see? I'm afraid while I'm holding her up, a crowd will get around me, see? Could you get over here and sort of keep the crowd back while I'm holding her up in the morning?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
10:15. Oh, officer, did you ever see a gun like that before?
Let's see it there.
Yeah, look at that.
That gun is no good.
There's where the trouble is. I noticed here, snapper don't snap.
Yeah, the snapper don't snap. You
yeah.
mean the trigger.
Yeah, don't trig. Mm. You see that? It don't trig.
Hasn't even got a hammer.
No, hasn't even got a screwdriver. Mm. You look at that thing, right?
Why, we've got guns down at the station house. Better guns than that that we are not using.
Better guns than that?
Mm, better guns than that.
Down at the station house?
Down at the station house.
Which way are you going now?
Oh, I'm going down the station house right now.
Yeah?
You want to come along?
Yeah, I'll go down with you.
Fine.
Mickey Bloom and Walter Schaff are two industrious Connecticut Yankees. Knowing how much I enjoyed doing Kitty from Kansas City, have tried to find me another. They believe they've succeeded with a little light burlesque called Shirley is the Girlie for Me. The arrangement by Al Evans. And Agnes, Marge, and Millie, but Shirley is the girlie for me. The gals have cost me plenty, a meal meant 10 or 20, but Shirley orders inexpensively. She never keeps me waiting when we make a date. The reason is that I'm the one who's always late. And when we spend the evening walking, I never hear her squawking, for Shirley is the girlie for me. Thank you.
don't like her no more, Marie. She's a getter too fatter, you see.
Shirley, she's a the girlie.
For me.
Well, yo, Marie's a gooder for my friend Filippo. She's a like a baby hippo.
Now, Shirley weigh only 173. Marie, she's a too much a smart. She take me for a sap. But I don't care until she want to sit on my lap. I'm Italiano more can a supporter because of my niece is a guy to the water. Shirley, she's a the girlie for me.
Now when I picks a steady, I like some rough and ready. Shirley is the girlie for me. She's tougher than raw mutton. She ain't afraid of nothing, see? And what makes it worse, she ain't even afraid of me. Now, Shorty is a good egg, the best in the world. She's in so much hot water, though, she's got hard boil. And when our quartet croon their grace notes, my gal, she sings the bass notes. Shorty is the girlie for me.
The fact that she has model makes up for her big schnozzle. Shirley is the girlie for me. I'll tell, kid. Doesn't take much liquor to get her awful chicker. To me, though, that's a triviality. I can't say she's as beautiful as one could wish, but no one beats her making gefilte fish. I could have my pick from the chorus, but they're taking a capora. Shirley is the girlie for me.
Well, beg pardon if I stutter. She has me all off flutter, you see. I'm referring to that priceless creature.
Shirley, don't you? You know my indifferent attitude toward girls of obvious pulchritude. Shirley remains indubitably my exclusive choice. They say her eyes are beautiful, but I say not quite. You see, I jolly well think her left eye is much nicer than the right. As you Americans say, in order to arrive at first base, I'm constrained to pick the worst base. Hence my selection of Shirley, don't you know?
Duncan sisters. 6 years ago, when I made my first appearance at the Palace Theater, the Duncan sisters were the headliners of the week. They separated shortly thereafter when Vivian was married to Niels Astor. Now they're together, and it is a most agreeable honor for me to welcome them to a theater which has, we like to think, replaced the old palace as the goal of variety artists. Tonight they bring us a portion of their Topsy and Eva act, and the famous song that went with that memorable show. Rosetta Duncan is Topsy, Vivian Duncan as Eva, one of the most successful combinations in the history of variety, the Duncan sisters.
Hey, Uncle Tom! Uncle Tom!
Yeah, little missy.
Uncle Tom, have you seen Topsy?
Well, she's around here a minute ago.
Yes, I know.
Well, there she is, Miss Eva, over there behind that flower pot.
Oh, look, Uncle Tom. She's eating the flowers.
My Lord. Hey, Topsy, stop eating them flowers.
No, I wasn't eating no flowers.
Yes, Topsy, you were eating the flowers.
No, Miss Eva, I was just eating the bugs off of them, that's all.
Yeah, Topsy, stop that scratching there.
Yes,
Topsy, you mustn't scratch.
No, ma'am.
It's not polite, Topsy.
No, but I just getting organized, that's all.
Well, look here, girl. When did you have your last bath?
Well, I haven't had my first one yet.
Come here, Topsy. Yes. Come here and say hello to all the little boys and girls and everybody who's listening in tonight.
Boogie, boogie, boogie. No, I won't say hello, Miss Diva.
Why but, not?
Because I hate everybody.
But, Topsy, you want everybody to love you, don't you?
Oh, I know, ma'am. I just hate everybody.
Everybody?
Yes, ma'am. I hate everybody in the world, and only wish there was more people, so I could hate them, too.
My, my, my. But why weren't you in school today, young'un?
Because I ain't going to school no more.
You're not going to school anymore?
No, ma'am. That teacher, she don't know nothing.
Don't know nothing?
No, sir. She just keeps asking me questions all the time.
Well, teachers have to do that, Tuck.
Yes, but that wasn't the only thing that happened.
Well, what else happened?
Well, that teacher, she played me a mean trick.
She did?
She certainly did.
What did she do?
Well, she brought me up in front of all the class.
Mm-mm.
Yes, did you ever get brung up in front of your class?
No, ma'am, not me.
Well, I did, and oh, was my face red.
Red? My goodness.
And then she put me on a high stool.
Did she put a hat on you, Topsy?
A hat? Mm-hmm. One of these streamlined V.A. shapes.
Mm-hmm. And then,
Yeah, and then she looked at me and she said, Topsy, just like that. She said, you sit here for the present. And I sat there all day, but I didn't get no present.
Well, go along, girl.
You're a bad girl, Topsy.
Yes, ma'am, I'm wicked at what I is. Crack my knuckles if I ain't.
But, Topsy, don't you know if you're not a good girl, that you'll never go to heaven?
That's right. You want to go to heaven, don't you?
Oh, I don't know. It's just imperial to me. No, I want to go to the hot place. I chilly, that's what I eat. I chilly.
Then you'll never walk on the golden seat, Topsy.
Yeah, I don't want to walk. I'm going to ride one in a chariot of fire, hot dog.
Then you'll never have two pretty wings.
Two pretty wings?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have two pretty wings?
I'm going to have two pretty wings when I die.
Pluck my eyebrows. When I die, I'm going to have three things.
Three things?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to have two horns and a propeller.
Topsy, you's a little imp.
That's me. Hotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe you's a heathen, gal. Didn't you ever read the Bible?
The Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Topsy, Gideon.
Gideon? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that. Gideon, little doggy, Gideon, little doggy.
No, Topsy.
Has you ever heard the story of Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. We know all about that story, don't we, Miss Eva?
We certainly do.
Then tell your old Uncle Tom all about it.
Here's a story that you must believe. It's the old, old story of Adam and Eve. Now they were the founders of the human race, and they lived in a most unusual place till they ate an apple and fell from grace. Oh, my. 'Twas a happy life they were leading in that beautiful garden of Eden. They wore no clothes, never missed a meal, and they had no reason to lie or steal, and they never had heard of sex appeal. Oh, my. Now Adam went on a trip one day, told Eve to be good while he was away.
He left her at home with nothing to do. She was alone and lonesome, too. Then the villain appeared, as villains do. Oh, my.
A snake drove up in a fast car. He had gin on his breath and a long black cigar.
When he saw Eve, he softly sighed and said,
come on, kid, let's go for a ride.
Then Eve climbed in and sat by his side.
I'm going to take you for a ride.
Oh, my. They drove away with a wicked laugh. But they only had gone about a mile and a half.
When they ran out of gas by an apple tree, and the snake proposed that they eat two or three, and Eve replied,
it's okay by me. I'm so glad you came up to see me, Snakey.
How am I doing?
You fascinate me, brother.
Oh, my.
Now, Eve didn't know that she was in danger, for she had never been told not to trust a stranger. She ate the apple, and it tasted like more, but there was a sign that she never saw that said,
eating these apples is against the law. Oh, my.
In due course of time, Eve came walking back with a couple of apples in a paper sack.
When she saw Adam, she started running, and he shouted to her when he saw her coming, "There's a deputy sheriff been here with a summons."
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
This poor unfortunate lady and gent were ejected for non-payment of rent.
They were out in the cold, and they thought they'd freeze, so Eve picked some fig leaves from the trees and made herself a pair of shorts, if you please.
Oh, my. This poor old snake had nothing to say, for his driver's license was taken away.
But here's one thing that I've never found. That's how he managed to get around before he was told to crawl on the ground.
Oh, my. Don't ask how this story came to be, for I must admit it's a mystery to me. But I think after Eve reached years of discretion and had fully recovered from her transgression, she sold the story to true confession. Oh, my.
According to the moonlight and the stars above, we should be making love accordingly. According to the season, which you know is spring, this is the proper thing. Next week, the Fleischman G-Star brings you another all-star cast. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company. WEAF, New York.